Tulane wins the Cotton Bowl. LSU wins the Florida Citrus Bowl. And the Saints are back to the Toilet Bowl, what it used to be when I was a little fella. Also, a little Sean Payton news is starting to leak out. And I have some thoughts on that this week. All that coming up on this, the season finale of Hosann on Football. Let's see. Welcome back to Hosann on Football. Mike Hosann here. You know, this is my final football-related, as far as analyzing games, obviously, until next season. I don't do the playoffs unless the Saints are in it. So, you're on your own for that. College football season's officially over. Georgia repeats. And so let's get into Tulane. Let's get into Tulane. Green Wave. Foot motherfucking ball. Because they balled out for the Cotton Bowl. And it was a beautiful sight to see. It was a culmination of maybe the best season, football season, in the history of Tulane as far as what the accomplishment was, winning the Cotton Bowl. Now, obviously, statistically and record-wise, the 98 team, I think, was 13-0, 12-0. So they get, that's the best team Tulane's ever had. But the most accomplished team is this year's Cotton Bowl winner, Cotton Bowl champion. That puts you up with the big boys. I'm not sure people can grasp what this means to a program like Tulane, what the optics are to people around the country. Oh, wait, Tulane won a Cotton Bowl. That's major. Cotton Bowl is major. They didn't win the Poulon Bowl. They didn't win the Hebrew National All Beef Franks Bowl. They won one of the most prestigious bowl games in college football. And that can't be understated enough. That should be mentioned every time Tulane football is mentioned. Should be in the same breath. Cotton Bowl champion, Tulane Green Wave. The 2023 Cotton Bowl champ, Tulane Green Wave. Tulane Green Wave, the 2023 Cotton Bowl champion. That is forever engraved on Tulane's monument. So, great season. Willie Fritz, Michael Pratt, Tajay Spears, and the good Tulane defense. And all those, Leonard Tolles, the wide receiver. Great year. Now, what Tulane has to do is, of course, they have to continue this. They got to build on it. And, let me see something. So what you got to do is you got to keep it rolling. You keep it going. You got your coach. He's now locked in for years to come. You got money that's going to be invested into the facilities. You got money that's going to be invested in the NIL. Listen, Tulane's endowment is the billions of dollars. They have a bigger endowment than LSU. Yeah. Tulane got some billionaire graduates, alumni. Time to step up, boys and girls. Time to step up. No, we're not to Tulane, where we the high and mighty academic school. We don't care about athletics, blah, 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 bull crap. You do care about athletics. You got to. It's culture. It's ingrained in the South and in the Louisiana and in New Orleans culture. So keep it going, Tulane. Now, back to the game. I mean, the game was unbelievable. I mean, everything USC threw at Tulane, Tulane responded. Every time you thought USC put that nail in the coffin, Tulane responded. I mean, look, I said on Eric's show when I was co-hosting with Scott Craig that if USC comes to play with the same intensity and will to win this game as Tulane, then USC is going to win easy. But the only caveat would be they have a bad defense and Tajay Spears could make a difference. But I thought that USC would win. I'm not going to back down from that. I said it and I thought it. And I said the only hope Tulane has is for Tajay Spears to go off. And that's pretty much what happened. He went off over 200 yards rushing. But the defense, USC was able to move the ball left and right. And at one point, when USC's up 15 with 4 minutes to go, the only thing you want as a team, and you're up 15, you're kicking the ball off, there's about 4 minutes to play, no big play. Don't give up the big play. If they're going to get a touchdown, let's make them earn it. Guess what? Boom! Big play. Tulane's now down 8. And here comes the kickoff. The guy fields the ball at the 1 yard line, and that's when God intervened. Whoever your God is, that's what he said. I got Tulane today. Because he had that dude catch that ball at the 1 yard line where it was sailing out into the end zone, or it might have even went out of bounds on its own before it hit the end zone, which would have gave USC the ball at the 30, I think, or 35. But, you know, the guy did what he did. And then you get the safety 2 plays later. And all of a sudden you have Lincoln Riley, who's an offensive-minded genius, who's a guru, who's a quarterback guru. He made Jalen Hurts into an all-pro, maybe NFL MVP quarterback. That's how good he is. Lincoln Riley's good. He can coach offense. He starts handing the ball off. He doesn't spread the Tulane defense out. You know, quick throws. He starts handing the ball off. Look, dude, at worst, you go 3 and out and you punt and you make Tulane drive. And even if they score a touchdown, they still have to convert a 2-point conversion just to tie, just to go to overtime. But, nope. They run twice. Tulane gets incredibly. Tulane hadn't been able to stop USC all game. And USC says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to let Tulane stop us. We're going to run the ball right up the middle. What? Are you serious? Caleb Williams, man. Let him use his legs. Sprint him out. Quarterback draw. Throw some balls. Nope. 2 straight runs up the middle. First one's no game. The second one's a safety. And everybody knew. You knew. Anybody watching that ball game knew it was going down then. You just knew it. Everybody knew it. Tulane's winning this game. Now, was it 2 fourth down, a 4th and 10 Michael Pratt runs for? Another 4th down, they get the ball closer to the goal line. And then it was just an appropriate way to win that game when Tulane throws the touchdown. Bobbled around, referee calls it incomplete. And it's overturned, and it's a Tulane touchdown. And Tulane wins the game. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So it's an unbelievable finish to an unbelievable season. Hats off to all involved. Hats off to the Mohawk. Big Willie Fritz. I mean, that's just perfect. Willie Fritz and the Mohawk. You gotta love it. His college pitcher, we all know which one, from 81. So good job, Tulane. Good job, Willie Fritz. Michael Pratt comes back. a few other players come back. They have good depth at running back, even though you lose Tajay Spears. They have good depth at quarterback as well. Tulane does, and wide receiver. So they're going to be fine for the next few years to come, especially since the conference is losing their upper echelon teams. So, all right. Come right back, talk about the Tigers doing what they needed to do against Purdue. And welcome back to Fazan on Football. Okay, let's talk about LSU. Just a great performance in the Citrus Bowl against Purdue. Now, look, we all know Purdue had some some dropouts, opt-outs. So they were undermanned. Their coach had left. And there was a bunch of stuff going on with Purdue. But you know what? That's your problem. That's a you problem. And I like how Brian Kelly took that attitude. Like, I don't have time to feel bad for Purdue. I have a program that I'm building. And so they took that game seriously, and they played it to win. And I don't feel bad one bit. It was like LSU getting a tune-up before they play a big-time game. So, you know, before an early season tune-up game is pretty much what it was like. And they handled their business. So I like the fact that he used both quarterbacks, Daniels and Nussmeier, and he even threw Walker Howard in there at the end, threw him a bone. And they both played well. So now we go to spring. Listen, I could talk all day about LSU's dominant performance, but, I mean, everybody who listens to this podcast saw that game, and they know how the game went. Daniels played well. I thought Nussmeier is the better passer, and Daniels obviously is the better runner. So they're going to have to work that out in spring, and that's what I was about to talk about. We have a big-time spring practice coming up, probably one of the most important or most significant springs that I've seen at LSU in a long time, simply because now you have a quarterback room that is stacked. It's full. And with Jaden Daniels deciding to return for another season, which was not part of the initial deal, it kind of threw a monkey wrench into the whole process. This should have been Garrett Nussmeier's turn to step up, ball out next year, the following year, and then Walker Howard behind him, Ricky Collins, blah, 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 blue. But now we have a spring where Daniels could screw that whole thing up. And this is, if I'm Brian Kelly, this is what I have to decide. Does Jaden Daniels have an upside? Is he going to get better? And if you really in your heart think he's reached his ceiling, you got to go with Nussmeier. Because that Jaden Daniels will not win a national championship for you. He's just not that good of a passer. He's not. And you know, good teams will figure out a way to force LSU to beat them passing the ball. Look at Arkansas after the Alabama game. Look at A&M after the Arkansas game. You know, coaches are copycats. They see something that works that another team did, they're going to copy it. So what did Arkansas do to shut LSU down so much? And the first thing you got to do, what you got to do on a Jaden Daniels against the Jaden Daniels Daniels quarterback team is you got to get an interception. If you get an early pick or almost pick, it's in his head, you got him. He's not going to risk throwing that ball for the rest of the game. And he's limited in his ability to pass. He just is. He's not very accurate. He's afraid to throw over the middle. And he relies on his legs too much. Now, Garrett Nussmeier, on the other hand, who can run if needed, he's a gunslinger, man. His attitude is, all right, I threw a pick, watch me throw three touchdowns now. That's just the way he thinks. That's his mindset. And he's got He's not afraid to throw the ball over the middle. He's not afraid to throw the ball, period. And so, well, that gets a quarterback in trouble sometimes, but it also it helps your team. It gets your receivers involved in the game. They all think, oh, I got a shot to get a throw now. Whereas with Daniels, it was Malik Nabers or nobody. Mason Taylor every now and then. And it's probably why Keyshawn Boutte decided to leave. I think he saw the fact that Daniels would be the quarterback again, and he underperformed. Boutte did. I mean, he didn't have the numbers he wanted. So instead of transfer, he just said, well, I mean, he loves LSU. So instead of transferring to another SEC school, he decided to go ahead and make himself available for the draft. You know, he'll be drafted, and he'll do well in the NFL. He's got size, he's got speed, he's got great hands, he can run after the catch. He'll be fine. LSU will be fine as well with that receiver group. But you need a quarterback. When you had that many receivers, playmakers, you need a guy that can get the ball in the hands to those playmakers. Well, what LSU has in Jaden Daniels is he thinks he's the playmaker. He thinks he's the one that needs the ball. And a lot of times he's right. A lot of times his legs get him out of trouble. And he's a weapon, no doubt about it. But I don't see a future for him in the NFL as a quarterback. I just don't. I don't. He's too frail. He's too small, skinny. And he's going to hurt an ankle, a shoulder. He's going to get banged up and nicked up. Much like RG3 did. You remember RG3 coming out of Baylor, won the Heisman Trophy, had a great rookie season. Teams figured out how to play him. They became more physical with him, shut him down. He was done. And that's what Jaden Daniels reminds me of. Robert Griffin III. So, if it's me, I'm going Garrett Nussmeier. Sorry, I just am. And you always have Daniels in the background to go as a fallback if Nussmeier gets hurt or he underperforms. So that would be my selling point to Garrett Nussmeier and Walker Howard. Listen, even if Brian Kelly sticks with Daniels as your starter, he's not gonna last or make it through an SEC schedule. He's just not. He's not. And it was just lucky for LSU that it took to the last regular season game to make him injured enough to pull him. And he was out for a week and came back not ready against Georgia, re-injured it, and now, you know, he was healthy again for the bowl game. But this is my selling point. Look, Nussmeier. Look, Garrett, son, you're gonna go to another. You're gonna transfer to another place. Who you're not the only quarterback there. You're gonna have to beat out, and maybe possibly sit behind a QB that you feel like you're better than, or you can stay here. You know Daniels is not going to make it through a season. You know he's not. Get good quality playing time. We've shown that we can insert, I'm thinking it's Brian Kelly here, we can insert Nussmeier in the game at any point, and we don't lose anything. So a lot of times when you have a two-quarterback system, you really have none because one can throw and one can pass. So the defense knows, okay, this quarterback's in, they're probably going to run. This quarterback's in, they're probably going to pass. But with Daniels, who can throw just good enough to keep defenses honest, but, you know, defenses are keying on his legs. And with Nussmeier, to me, he's a really good thrower, a really good passer. You can insert Nussmeier in. And then what you're doing there is you're saving reps for Daniels. You're resting him. You're avoiding for him to be get hit. You've had the opportunity to leave himself exposed to injury. Now, I know injury can happen on any play, but he can't happen to him if he's sitting on the bench. And Nussmeier takes a series or two. And I'm not just a series. Let's say Nussmeier goes in and they go 3-and-out. Well, send him in the next series. Give him a feel. Let him play enough to where it's a feel. That's what I would do if I was Brian Kelly and I wanted to keep Daniels as my starter. Now, Walker Howard's going to be a redshirt freshman. If he can't wait his turn, I mean, he came to LSU knowing that Nussmeier was there. Then, I mean, if he wants to transfer, you know, so be it. But you have to realize as a quarterback, if you transfer to another school, that school already has a quarterback, especially in the SEC, maybe two, and they're recruiting one coming out of high school. And with a guy like Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Hugh Freeze at Auburn now, Jimbo Fisher, who used to be known as a quarterback guru, has kind of lost his way, but now they have Bobby Petrino, who you could say you could say how you want about his personal life. The man knows offense, and he knows how to groom a quarterback. Then you're going to have other quarterbacks on that team. So Walker Howard, stay here, learn the system. When it's your turn, you'll know it like the back of your hand. And you step right in and play. And then when Daniels leaves, right, and Nussmeier is your starter, we can do with you what we did with Nussmeier, like give you quality reps during the game, not garbage reps. And then when it's your turn, you'll be ready to roll. So that's how I would work it. Now, I don't know what Brian Kelly's going to do, but he said himself there's no controversy. Jay Daniels is a star. So, you know, it is what it is. Okay, I had to come back before I sent this out to publish. Breaking news about a half an hour ago. I heard that Walker Howard has entered the transfer portal. So, he is a surprise transfer candidate since his dad played for LSU. And it was thought that LSU was his dream school. But, you know, in today's world, NIL, all that's out the window. There's no, oh my God, dream school. There's no, I'm going to wait until I get an opportunity. I know there's a lot of competition here, but I feel like I'm good enough that I can beat these other players out. So, he was a 5-star quarterback, Walker Howard, has entered the transfer portal. And that's a biggie. That's a biggie. That's bad news for LSU. It's bad news. Jaden Daniels should have took his ass to the NFL. And my emotions are kind of raw right now. So I don't want to say something without thinking about it. But this is a bad news for LSU. It's bad news. So more on this as everything progresses. But I had to throw that out because I had just talked about, you know, how you can keep all three. But I guess Walker Howard had other thoughts. All right, be right back. Okay, I'm back again. I just couldn't leave it alone. Been thinking about the Walker Howard transfer portal situation. It just stinks because this is what happens when, I mean, imagine this. A guy grows up, his dad was not only a quarterback at LSU, but his dad was the guy that brought the magic back. When Jerry DiNardo came to LSU, Jamie Howard was a hybrid baseball player, football player. But he wanted to play football. Okay, fine, great. Well, he was a basket case on the field. He was all arm, no brains. no moxie, or no whatever. Well, under Curly Hallman. Curly Hallman recruited him. So, here we go. Here comes Jerry DiNardo. New coach. New chance. New system. I'm going to bring the magic back. And everyone just assumed that DiNardo was going to bring in a quarterback. He said, no, I'm going to work with Jamie Howard. So that team, that LSU team, Jamie Howard led to their first bowl game. It was the Independence Bowl, but it was a bowl game. It was huge back then in the minds of LSU fans. You know, I can remember Gabe Northern running around with the LSU flag when they beat Arkansas on the last game of the year to qualify for a bowl game. And it was the Independence Bowl. And I want to say it was Michigan State and Nick Saban, of all people, that they beat in the Independence Bowl. I think that was the game. They went there a couple of times. No, Notre Dame was one. Rondell Mealy had 200-plus yards rushing. But anyway, so that's your dad. You know you growing up with purple and gold walls, man. You got LSU stuff all over the place. Your family's hyped. My boy's going to LSU. Season tickets. Everything. You grew up to be a five-star quarterback. I think his dad, they didn't have five stars back then. But his dad was rated very high, Jamie Howard. And here's your dream school. Okay, it was never a doubt. I'm signing with LSU. I'm going. And you go your freshman year, and you don't start. You volunteered a red shirt. No, I want to go, and I want a red shirt, and I want to learn. I just don't get it. I don't understand what happened. Man, what'd you think? LSU was going to stop recruiting quarterbacks because you were there? Now, I know the Jaden Daniels situation muddled the picture. It muddied the picture. But still, what you going to do, man? You're at the school that you dreamed of playing at. And maybe like, okay, I dreamed of playing LSU. I got into one game with them. I played some minutes in the fourth quarter. Okay, I scratched that itch. Now I'm going on to look for me. And so, you know, I'm just thinking, if he was smart, he'd go to Sonny Dykes and TCU. But I'm just saying, they losing a quarterback. They need a new quarterback. Just saying. Alabama needs a new quarterback. I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm just thinking out loud. So it's a damn shame. It's the generation now. I want instant gratification, instant satisfaction, and I want it now. I don't want to wait. Stomp my feet and hold my breath. I don't want to wait. My turn. I don't want to sit and watch another season. So, just my thoughts. I think it's, and then you're talking about now with NIL, money's being thrown around at these guys like, you know, drunken sailors on Bourbon Street, on Decatur Street back in the 70s. And if you know what happened back in the 70s, my boy, on Decatur Street, ask Richard Angelico. Only my old school New Orleans people will know who that name is. I don't have time to go into it. But anyway, just throwing that out there. All right, be right back. Talk about the Saints. Okay. Had enough time to sleep on the Walker Howard situation. And now that I think about it, it's bad for LSU. But this is the way of the world in college football today. And also college sports. Play me now or else I leave. I don't want to compete. I don't want to have to compete or put in a position where I feel like I don't have a chance to start right away. So I'm not sure if Brian Kelly sat him down and said, look, we rolling with Jalen and Nuss this year. You're probably not going to play much. I just want to give you, I want to be honest with you. So, you know, you make a decision on what you have to do. But, you know, you're definitely in our plans for the future. But, you know, we're not going to stop recruiting quarterbacks. So, anyway, I just think that's what happened. That's just me. That's just me thinking. But it's just life in college football and college sports today. And, you know, hey, LSU got Arizona State starting quarterback to transfer to them. I mean, he's a starter and he transferred. I mean, Walker Howard was a redshirt freshman. He's a highly recruited five-star. Some sites had him the number one dual-threat quarterback in the country coming out of high school. So, no, you want talent like that on your team. But it is what it is. LSU may accept another transfer just for depth at quarterback. Or they may just roll with Dan Hughes, Nussmeyer, and Ricky Collins coming in. So we'll just see how it all plays out. My bet is Walker Howard will transfer to TCU. That's where Jack Besh transferred. Sonny Dykes is a great coach, especially on the offensive side of it. And I just think that would be a good fit. Their quarterback is leaving next season, and I think he feels like he would have an opportunity to compete for the starting position and play this year. So just we're going to have to watch and see how it all folds out. All right, be right back. Saints up next. And welcome back to Fasano Football, the swan song for the 2022 football season, both college and pro. Let's move on to the Saints. I mean, we could talk about that debacle in the Superdome Sunday against Carolina. And as a lot of people pointed out, it's microcosm of the whole entire Saints season. Close but no cigar. Too little, too late. Not having the intestinal fortitude to put teams away. And once again, I hate to be pounding on Dennis Allen, but he's just not... Dennis Allen is just not person that strikes me as, you know what, great head coach. That's the guy I want being a head coach of my team, especially following the guy who's a complete polar opposite of Sean Payton. And, hey, he asked for it. I told him, I said it before the season started. I said it when he got that job. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for, because... I'll say it again. If he'd have won, oh, that was Sean Payton, just a continuation of the Sean Payton program if the Saints win the division. If you lose, it's on you, brother. You took over a program that's been one of the winningest programs in the NFL in the last 15 seasons. They've had a couple of down years, but they righted that ship, had a couple of good drafts, and got right back in the thick of things. And you still have a nucleus of talent from the team that is not far removed from the Nolan O'Call. Went into division in 19 and 20. 21, not making the playoffs, but, you know, it was a spin the wheel to see what quarterback was going to be starting. They even had a guy named Ian Book. Play a game, start a game. So, you know, you could, the 21 season, you look back on that, they're 9-8. They go to Carolina with no coaching. Everybody in the coaching staff has COVID. And then they play a game at home against Miami when everybody had COVID. So it was a game that should not have been played. Anyway, But my point is, you know, Sean Payton can take chicken, you know what, make it chicken salad. He can take lemons and make it lemonade. But Dennis Allen took chicken salad and made it chicken poo-poo. Same players. Better quarterback situation when you look at Winston. Look at 21. Winston, Travis Siemian, Taysom Hill, and Ian Book. Look at 22. Winston, Andy Dalton, who's better than everybody that played for the Saints last year quarterback, including Winston. And Taysom Hill, who you didn't have to have him start any games, but you had him in the role that he's most comfortable with, that he's most productive in. So, you're not going to win with Dennis Allen. He's not that type of coach. Sorry. I mean, he took the job. He took it knowing he was following a legend. And I don't know if he just felt like all I got to do is come in here and kick my feet up and the things will run itself. Or maybe he felt like I got to come in here and put my spin on it, my take, my slant, and he screwed the pooch. But for whatever reason, injuries, there were few, but no more than any other team. Despite the injuries, I'll say it again, you had games that were absolutely winnable. And here's the thing, the Carolina game is a perfect example. You don't focus. Andy Dalton, on the second series, I think, of the Saints, second or third, after just marching right down the field and scoring. No, I think it was the second quarter. Anyway, they march right down the field. They're in the 20-ish, you know, definite, close to being red zone. And on third down, Andy Dalton misses a wide open Taysom Hill. I mean, doesn't even look at him. Doesn't even glance up to maybe even, you know, look away from Alvin Kamara. He looked at Kamara the whole time and then throw the ball on the ground, realizing that the Carolina defender was about to pound Kamara. And in his mind, in that instant second, he's going, throw it away, we got three. I don't want to get a pick here. I don't want to get my guy Kamara hurt. I get it. But the problem is, you didn't see Taysom Hill wide open. Wide open. Wide open. I think, judging from his reaction after the play, I think he saw Taysom after the play and went, holy shit, what did I just do? But no, dude, it's before you got to make that call, make that read, before, not after. And that's just the microcosm. So the Saints, okay, we got three. We're up 10-0 on a crappy-ass team. Okay. Will Lutz misses a 41 or 2-yard field goal. Indoors. Now, when you're a kicker and you're in the majority of your games, 8 or 9 home games and at least one road game is indoors, and you shank a 44-yard field goal, you miss it wide, you're done as a kicker. You have mentally lost your ability to kick field goals between the years. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Will Lutz was once one of the best kickers in the league. He may someday be one of the best kickers in the league again. But this season, he was one of the worst. And he missed field goals at the worst possible time. Worst time. So I don't want to hear, well, he came off of surgery and this and that. Say, man, he kicked a 60-yard field goal against Minnesota, outdoors in London, and then came back and hit a 60-yard field goal that hit the upright. So I don't want to hear he's coming off surgery. That's not what it was. Will Lutz, between the years, once again became Klutz, Lutz the Klutz, whatever you want to call him. And it's just one of those things. Again, the Saints get another possession. They're driving again. And on third down, I think it was Andy Dalton hits Chris Olave, first round draft pick. Clock's running out. Now, here's the thing. If you're a dialed in team and your coach has you dialed in and covering your bases and checking off the little things, Chris Olave knows I don't need to fight for yardage right here. I don't need to fight for more yards. Clock's running. I need to get down and either call timeout or get the ball back to the ref so we can kill the ball. Saints win a hurry-up offense. It was near the end of the half. And he fumbles. Trying to get extra yards when he doesn't know the situation right there, because probably they haven't gone over that. You know, doing a hurry-up offense, running the clock type of plays, a practice, it calls for Olave to hit the ground there. I think it was second down. I don't even think it was third. Because in my mind, I can remember screaming, just hit, you don't need extra yards, just get down, Olave, call timeout. But, you know, he fumbled. And it's that little extra intangible. It's the little things that the Saints just didn't focus on this season. They did not focus on it. Alvin Kamara mentioned it during the season when he said, we don't stop and correct things, correct mistakes in practice. Well, if you're not going to correct them in practice, you're damn sure not going to correct them in the game, because this is what coaches do. Good coaches make practices so hard, so difficult, so mentally challenging that the game is easy. Game's easy. You want to prep so hard and cover every base, go over every scenario, check everything off, the little tiny things, that when it comes to game time, it's easy. It's a piece of cake. That's how John Madden did it, and that's how a lot of great coaches did it. But the Saints don't do that. It's obvious. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what any coach says. Oh, no, we check the little things. We go over this. No, you don't, dude. You don't, because your players don't play like it. That's how I know you don't. That's how I know you're like, okay, let's move on to the next thing when you're in practice. We'll fix it later. Now, people gave Dennis Allen a break because the one time before that he was a head coach, he was coaching the Raiders, which... it's a horrible situation. It was back then when Al Davis was still alive and had dementia and was, you know, running things, you know, crazily. So you almost gave him a pass that you didn't have winning seasons and you end up getting fired because you were taking over a team that just needed to maintain what they were doing. But what you failed to do, Dennis Allen, is you failed to cover all the little things, the small little details. And one other thing is an intangible that he just does not possess. It's the it factor. Sorry. Sorry, you followed Sean Payton. You did it. You wanted it. You got it. So if you're going to follow a legend, you better bring legendary stuff. Because, you know, if we're used to seeing Mike Ditka for 3 years, who's a big giant buffoon, big idiot, and then you have a guy like Dennis Allen who at least is competent and knows defense and knows, can put a good defensive product out on the field, and you're coming close to winning games, but hey, man, we've been losing with this buffoon Ditka before. That's one thing. No, dude, you're coming off Sean Payton. Sorry, you did it. And I'm going to compare him to him. You follow the legend, dude. And when you follow a legend, you got to be a legend or you're gone. You're out. You're forever compared to that guy. It's like Alabama. God help the coach who comes in after Nick Saban. Whew. Huh. Now Kirby Smart at Georgia. God help that coach who comes in. Now, God help Georgia if they don't win the national championship next year. People are going to want Kirby Smart fired. But, Dennis Allen didn't even come close. He took a team and made it go backwards. Okay, I had to step away for a second. I lost my place, but here's the bottom line. People say, Fazan, you want to fire a coach after one season? You look ridiculous doing that. You look like the Cardinals or the Raiders. You know, you just don't look buttoned up if you got to fire the guy you hired one season in. But I mean, to me, it takes a... Now, no, I mean, if you're talking about the Cardinals, they're a bunch of goofs. That organization, the Bidwells, are not great when it comes to football management, managing a football team. And for that matter, neither are the Davises and for the Raiders. But if you're a competent general manager, or president of an organization, a football team, and you see that you made a mistake, isn't it smarter? Doesn't the smarter person own it? You know what? We made a mistake here. We tried the continuity. It's a great word that my boy Big E loves to use, and I agree 100%. You tried continuity. And it failed. It failed. And for whatever reason. And nobody... If you want to say, we don't even blame Dennis Allen fully. It's just, we need another direction. We need a complete overhaul of, vision. Where the hell we want to go with this franchise? And we love the Sean Payton era. It was the absolute golden era of Saints football. I mean, not even close. It's the ultimate. It'll be forever compared to in the future for future coaches and regimes for the Saints. The Sean Payton era is now the gold standard, but it's over. It's over and it's done and it's dead. So is this something, if you wanna keep living with a mistake? If you know you made a mistake, it's not going to change. It's just going to get worse. It's going to fester. And then next season, you'll find yourself... I mean, let's say this. Let's say the Saints organization, Mickey Loomis et al., they know they screwed up. They knew they hired the wrong person. I mean, all you got to do is look in Jacksonville and see, man, we had that head coach in our office. And it wouldn't shock me if the Saints offered him offensive coordinator. Hey, won't you be Dennis Allen's offensive coordinator? He probably told him, I'm a Super Bowl winning coach, dude. Super Bowl winning head coach. Kiss my ass. Now, I don't know if that's what happened or not. But I wouldn't be shocked at that scenario. They offered offensive coordinator to Eric Bieniemy, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator. He's like, what are you, nuts? Are you crazy? You have Patrick Mahomes here. Now, I'll be head coach and deal with what I have to deal with, but I'm not going to be OC and then have my reputation ruined because we don't have a quarterback. So let's say you're the Saints front office, and you're saying, you know what, we can't fire. Let's give them a year. Let's do one more and maybe change the coordinator here or quarterback coach there or bring in a free agent quarterback or trade or draft somebody and just hang on. And then next year we can, if the same thing happens, next year we can you know, change coaches. But now you find yourself the whole off season not even trying. You're kind of like hoping the guy fails just to give you cover to fire the guy. And in my mind, you got to cut bait, man. You just got to cut bait. You did it with basketball. You know, wasn't working out with the Van Gundy experiment. And you say, you know what? We need a whole new, fresh look. And man, you knocked that out the park with Willie Green. So it's not unprecedented, even in your own sports organization, that you let a guy go after one season. You just let him go. It didn't work. I'm sorry. And we want a different vision. I mean, this is the way it is. That's what I would do. No, I would cut bait now. I would not let this thing linger and fester. Cut bait now. Go back to the drawing board. Get yourself a new offensive-minded visionary as a head coach. Sit him down. Okay, what's your vision for a team? You tell me. And then roll with that. That's what I would do. But I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge. And here's another issue. Sean Payton is chomping at the bit to coach again next year. To coach again. And I gotta reference my man, Big E, Barrack Asher, once again. Sean Payton thinks he's coaching in the NFC South. No, you're not. You're not even, that's not even an option. And to a lesser degree, not even the NFC is an option. You're coaching where we say you can coach next season. You are going to coach where we give you permission to coach because we own you for the next 2 years. We own you for 23. And we own you for 24. And by 25, you're yesterday's news. Teams have moved on. So don't be running around putting Sean Payton, putting out trial balloons, floating this organization and that, to say, yeah, I could see myself coaching in the South again. Not before 2025, you don't. Sorry. It is another thing. All this talk about it's unrealistic to ask for more than a first-round draft pick for the rights to Sean Payton. Where'd that come from? Whose idea was that? It's mouthpieces in the local media who are tight with Sean Payton, lowering expectations, setting the groundwork. You can't expect it. I think it's unrealistic. Really? Bull crap. Not if he wants to coach before 25. It's a number one this year. It's a number one next year. I said a 1 and a 3 this year and a 1 next year. My boy Big E said no, he wants 2 ones and 2 twos. I'm all in with that. Well, you don't coach. You don't coach, Sean Payton. And whatever organization you think you're going to go to, they need to know that when you go in to negotiate. Unless you know, oh, my boy Mickey's going to take care of me. He's not going to ask for too much in compensation. Which, again, would not surprise me. Would not surprise me. This is the same guy that asked Eric Bieniemy to move laterally, to be an offensive coordinator. Under Dennis Allen. He's probably Dennis Allen. He's nuts. So, just at the bottom of my gut, I got a sneaky suspicion that old Mickey's got his pal taken care of. It's going to all work out. And he's sending his local media boys, mostly in the print press, or they have their own little deals going via podcast. He's, y'all put the word out. Lower expectations. You know, we don't, nobody gets a number one anymore for a head coach. Really? for a Super Bowl winning head coach who's got 2 years remaining on a contract of the team that owns his rights? You get what you want. And you ask for the moon. And you stand there and say, fine. No deal. No deal. All right, it's going to be interesting to find out, to watch it as it all plays out. You know, Sean Payton's acting like he's in complete control when he's not. And I know it drives him nuts. But he chose to walk away. This is what he chose. So, I don't care how crazy it's driving him. He chose to walk with 2 years remaining, 3 years remaining on his contract. And now he's got to live with it. You know? Now he was even saying Sunday that, oh, I like the team I got. Are you kidding me? I got Terry Bradshaw and I got Howie Long at one end. He played defensive tackle, but okay. And I got Michael Strahan, or Michael's at the other end, and I did that. I got Michael Vick. No, dude. You want to coach again, you want to dance, you got to pay the band. That's just the way it is. So this is going to be fun. I may not have an offseason with Xanthan football. I mean, for now, I'm saying this is the last show as far as analyzing games, but, you know, there's still a crazy offseason lurking out there, and you just may hear from me again. All right, until then, it's been great. I've had a wonderful time this season bringing this podcast to you. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. But for now, I'll say so long, and we'll see you next year.